thank you for joining us on this series of podcasts with Men in Early Years Childcare. I'm Cathy Brodie of cathybrodie.com. There's still very few men in childcare, so in this series of podcasts, I've been investigating why men have enjoyed in the industry, as well as the sorts of things that we can do to encourage more men to come into the industry. Today, I'm joined by Rhys Penny, Senior Teacher and EYFS Lead at Cedar Road Primary School in Northampton. Welcome to the podcast, Rhys.
Thank you.
First of all, let's just start at the very beginning, Rhys. What was it that drew you into the early years sectors at the very beginning?
Well, I was 5 years old in a primary school in Wales, and I had this fantastic reception teacher who I couldn't wait to go into school to see. And it was literally from day one that I thought, ooh, I like what she's doing. Mm. And pretty much from then on, I knew that I was going to be a teacher. And that's what I wanted to become when I eventually grew up to be a big person.
That's fantastic. So from the age of five, you knew that you wanted to be a reception teacher.
I did, yes. Yeah, not many people can say that.
Very few indeed, and inspired by your own reception teacher. That's just, how fantastic is that? That's just amazing. And just think, you might be doing the same for young boys and girls in your class right now as well.
I would love to think that I actually do the same. You know, you see them years after, they come and see you in town, and they, you know, they're always shouting, "Hello, Miss Penny." You think, oh, one, I haven't changed anything, so that's quite good. I still look the same. And two, you often think, oh, I wonder what they're doing. So you can't wait to ask them. And, you know, and the fact that they remember you, I think, is just something in itself, really, because it must mean you made a difference to their lives.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as you say, at age five, you're quite impressionable anyway. So to make a good impression is so important.
Oh, it is indeed, yeah.
Now, I know you've been teaching for 14 years. And is it right in the same school that you first joined as a student when you very first started teaching?
That's right, yes. It was my second placement. Wow. When I was a student at Northampton Uni. And I thoroughly enjoyed being in the reception class. Yeah. And I remember being watched by all the teachers, some senior management, some governors. And that's when I kind of thought, something's going on here, and felt really worried that, oh my goodness, I'm failing. Because of course you always go to the negative side.
Of course.
And, you know, I kind of thought, I've got to be brave and asked what's going on. And that's when, you know, my teacher said, oh, they're looking at you for a job in this school next year if you'd be interested. And I thought, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing and so easy, because it means I don't have to look around.
That's right.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I got offered an interview, interviewed, and then got the job.
Well done.
And I'm still there.
Still, you must have done something right. You really must have done. So in those 14 years, have you taken on any of the job roles within the school? Have you done anything else as well?
I have. So when I first started, I was a year one teacher, because I am the younger age trained up to seven. Mm-hmm. I've been a year two teacher, PPA cover for year six, which gave me an insight to the older children, which I loved. But I knew it was not for me full time, that my heart was definitely with reception or the younger age children. Yeah. I was the ICT subject leader, PE subject leader, PHSC subject leader, now eventually senior teacher. I was acting deputy head last year.
Well done. Wow.
I've done so much. Sometimes it's hard to believe how much I've done, actually. Yes. I get lost.
Yes, you've certainly sort of seen that full range. So you've experienced year six. You've obviously experienced all the different curriculum areas as well. And you've still come back to reception.
Oh, yes. That is where my home is. I feel my most comfortable. I just feel that I can have so much more fun down there without perhaps the responsibility and the thought of year six SATs. And, as brilliant as year six are, and you can have fun with them, I just feel that actually working with the younger children, those early first days, that first sign of learning when they see something and they get something for the first time, it's just, it never gets boring. Yeah. I love it every day. It's so different. And I don't think you could probably say that with every year group. So it's where I want to go again and again and again, yeah. And always do.
Yeah, so I mean, as you say, after 14 years, if you've gone back to reception, I think that's a really good sign. Yeah. So you mentioned that you were acting deputy. So how did you find the management side? Do you prefer the management to the teaching?
I absolutely loved being acting deputy. I was in the extended leadership prior to that. So I was getting my taste and my foot into management. I absolutely love it. The paperwork can be a little bit disheartening at times. But I just keep getting drawn back down. So even when I was on my management days and sorting out sort of other things, I couldn't help but pop my head back down to my classroom, see my children, you know, get that little sort of, Mr. Petty! And you're like, oh yes, it's okay. You're all right, you're calm, you can do this. It just brings you back to reality, and it just made me think, yeah, this is where I am, definitely needed the most and wanted the most and where I want to be the most. And I still want to progress into management, but one way or another, I will still be teaching.
Yeah, so it's a teaching that's still a draw for you then, isn't it? Still,
without a doubt. I couldn't imagine actually not teaching.
Yeah.
That's a scary thought for me.
Let's not go there. Let's stay in your happy place in reception class.
Please.
Now, I know that, as you said, you've been involved with lots of different areas throughout the school. And your current project is working with reluctant boy readers and technology. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing with the boys?
Yeah, well, I've recently started this working with these children. And it was kind of based around feeling that I was a reluctant reader. I didn't really want to read, if I'm honest. And even now I think, oh, do I have to? But since the world of technology, it's really opened my eyes into thinking, actually, do you know what? Reading can be fun. And I think it was the fear of the book and looking at thickness of books and thinking, my goodness, I'm never going to get to the end of that. Whereas with an e-reader, it's you just read and read and read. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it now. And I thought, I need to pass this on to other reluctant readers, in particular boys, of course, because I feel that, you know, being a male, I've got that sort of side with them. And so I've sort of started getting in more technology, iPods, iPads, other e-readers. And I've got some boys sort of trying it out, getting some books downloading. So they're being a really sort of crucial part in finding out what books they think would be advisable. So they are kind of then able to lead it with the younger children as well. And it's just kind of developing really at the moment, to a point where I will be able to kind of show that a difference has been made and these boys actually want to read now for pleasure and not because they have to.
Well, that of course is the critical thing, because you can force them to read a book in the classroom, but the minute they leave the classroom, then they're sunk, aren't they? That's really interesting that you're using some really strong learning and teaching techniques there as well, with peer learning and getting them to, it's very sneaky, getting them to use the technology to download it and then saying, oh, well, then you can read it. Yeah. I think that's a really nice sort of way in, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, technology is all around us now. You know, majority of the children have some form of tablet or smartphone at home that they have access to. And it's just, you know, shown them actually it can be used for other things, other than games. But also, I think it's, for me, like I said, it was that looking at a book and seeing how thick it was, it just made me think, I can't do that, and therefore I won't do that. And I think, you know, that does still sort of, you know, put the fear into reading for children. That's what I needed to kind of try and change, really.
So you focused on the boys initially. Is that because that had been identified as an area? I mean, presumably these techniques are good for girls as well.
It has. I mean, it has been identified as an area in our school that we need to put extra support into. I started with boys in particular because, you know, boys are generally the reluctant readers, you know, when you look at children. But what I'm wanting to do is then to develop it so that it's actually, it does include girls, both reluctant and, you know, children that love reading. So it doesn't then, it's not just a kind of small subsectioned group. It's actually for the whole school. But of course, I need money for that.
Well, yes.
That'd be lovely to have all the money in the world. But hopefully, you know, I've got my vision of where I wanted to go and how I wanted to grow. And then, you know, hopefully take that further so that they can actually access this technology at home if they don't have it. So they can actually borrow an e-reader from our school library. So it's not just a paper book.
Fantastic. So can they do that now? Will that be something for the future?
Well, we've got a couple at the moment where the boys are sort of reading at school with the premise that if they need to finish it, they are, you know, can borrow it at home. We haven't put that into actual sort of properly on writing and everything yet, because it's something that, you know, I think we've really got to look at and make sure that parents understand that they need to be responsible for the technology, because of course as a school we don't have endless pots of funding either.
No.
So it's kind of that's the goal, that they will be able to borrow these e-readers to take home just like they would a library book.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, that the whole idea that we're surrounded by technology all the time, this is something that's quite normal for them, you know, the whole idea of them being digital natives, and to be able to say to them, you can go and get something out of the library, but it doesn't have to be a book, you can choose what you want, is so powerful, isn't it?
It is, more choice, you know, that's what they need.
That's what it's all about. Oh, that's fantastic. So there's lots of positive things there. So for X number of years, you've always wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Coming down to the critical thing, though, have you ever encountered any specific difficulties while you were either training or as a teacher, as a male teacher?
I mean, when my first placement as a PGC student was in an infant school. I was in a year two class, I believe. And they were their attitudes toward males were very different to females. It actually almost put me off teaching.
Do it from the age of five.
Exactly. I kind of just felt, if this is what it's like, I don't think I want to do it. It was very, you know, you are a man with children, therefore you cannot be trusted. And I mean, as a student, I thought, well, okay, fair enough, maybe. But there was a male member of staff there, and he was treated very differently, to the point where if his children were getting dressed in for PE, he had to have a female, whereas the females didn't have to have the male member of staff there.
Seriously? Talking, 15 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, 15 years ago. And I just felt that if this is reality, then I've been disillusioned for all these years, that it wasn't something that I really wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
But I spoke it through with my tutors, and they kind of reassured me that this is a very individual case, and you know, said that they would look at making sure that the school I went to next was not like that at all, which just happened to be the school that I'm working in now. So that worked out brilliantly.
Yeah.
So that kind of really put, you know, my kind of sort of worries, I suppose, of attitudes towards men just, you know, still there, and just made me think, I don't like that.
No, I'd agree with you totally, and I don't like that. I don't like that either. I mean, that's just ridiculous in this day and age. Do you think that still goes on elsewhere, or do you think that just was an absolutely one-off case?
I think it still goes on, if I'm honest. I mean, I've been on courses in different places where I've been in early years especially, I'll fill out the forms, and I know how to fill my forms. Surname is Penny, first name is Reese. Yeah, I get to the training and they expect a woman, because they thought I filled the form in wrong and put me down as Penny Reese. I turn up and they kind of think, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I'm here for the training. You've got my name wrong. I'm actually Reese Penny. And so started, you know, me thinking, well, you obviously weren't expecting a male because we're so rare.
Yeah.
But again, they were quizzing me and they were like, well, why are you in early years?
Yeah.
Do you find this? Oh, you have to be really careful. And I'd be like, but you're a lady, you have to be really careful.
Yeah.
And that's going back even five, maybe, you know, years ago, where I've had training like that. And it does kind of, it stings, because you just think, but why aren't I trusted? Because, you know, there are other scenarios out there that, unfortunately, women have been you know, in the news for doing the wrong thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it just, I think, you know, being a male, and because we're very few, I think we stand out, and I think that's the problem. And I think that's why that stigma is still there a little bit, if I'm honest.
It's the more that you're unusual. I mean, none of the evidence stacks up against one gender or the other, does it?
No.
It is just because you are unusual and noticeably unusual, as you say. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I've been on so many courses and I literally am the only male. I was the only male in uni on the 4 to 7 year old primary course.
Were you?
You know, out of 100 plus students, they were all on the older age. Wow. So, you know, I've always stood out. And that's been fine for me because, you know, I actually enjoy female company, so it didn't really bother me.
Just as well, yeah.
it is just as well, really, isn't it?
So do you think, would that be intimidating for some men, do you think, to be the only one I can imagine a massive lecture theatre and there's all the girls there and you're the only bloke there? Would you think that was quite intimidating for some people?
It is, and I think definitely yes. You know, especially when you first sort of, as you first walk through that door, they've put you down as a woman because you're having to defend yourself from the start. And then, of course, yes, being the only male when there are that many women, it's intimidating because, you know, women are and can be quite a fiery force, and you have to stand your own ground. And it can be difficult. And like I said, in that placement, my first placement, if it wasn't for the fact my university supported me and I was kind of a bit more headstrong, I suppose, I would have quit, and that would have been that for me. And I would have been devastated if I hadn't gone there, because actually this last 14 years have been absolutely amazing. I've learnt loads, and I can't ever see myself doing anything ever again.
How brilliant. That's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. So having that support from uni and having people around you who say, actually, this isn't normal, this isn't what you should be expecting, that's quite important, isn't it, to have that support from somewhere, whether that's a network or your uni or friends saying, actually, it's going to be okay. That's quite important, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, I couldn't have done it without their support. You know, my friends, of course, were like, oh, no, my school's not like that. Or, you know, but, you know, your first experience of really proper teaching outside of school work experiences, it was a shock to the system. And I wouldn't have got through it without that support.
Oh, well, at least you did, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
So now you are in a school. What sort of things does Cedar Road Primary do to welcome men into their environment? So not just teachers, but dads, uncles, granddads. What sort of things do you do at school to help those men feel welcome in your environment?
Well, we've tried different things, actually, in the past. We've actually had dad reading days. So, you know, dads were welcome in throughout the day to come and read, to try and work through, you know, their working hours. We have parent welcomes in every day anyway in reception, and then it sort of filters down into the other year groups. We arrange other appointments if parents are working. You know, we try and obviously incorporate dads in as much as possible. Being in foundation stage, we have, of course, the first intake of children. So we have to show parents around, show children. We try, of course, to do that during the day, so that they get a real feel for the school. But there are, you know, I've had some dads already this year saying, I'm really sorry, I can't make it on the day appointments. Could I do it at sort of 5 o'clock or whatever after work? And, you know, I totally understand where they're coming from. Everybody needs to work. And so, you know, we try and make sure that we can work with them and fit that around, because, you know, inevitably they need to be comfortable with the school they choose as well. So we've always welcomed, you know, everybody into our school. But we have tried sort of different things, like, say, with dad reading days, to kind of make them feel that they're a part of their child's education as well.
Yes, I think that's so important in school, isn't it? It is about that education. It is about letting them know that their child is of a priority, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, and it's both true for women and men these days, because generally we have both parents having to work. So, you know, trying to make sure that we feel them make them feel welcome, throughout the day and at other times, it's really important, because, you know, they need to feel that we're doing our job, and we need them to know how their children are doing. So if we have to work around their hours, then of course that's what we'll do.
So it is that two-way cooperation, isn't it?
Lovely.
So if there's any men out there listening to the podcast today, what sort of advice would you be able to give them about starting in early years or about coming into school as a teacher?
I think my advice would be, you know, stick at your guns. If it's something you really want to do, then go for it. Try and leave, you know, the stereotypes, other people's perceptions of a male in younger years. Well, that's a bit strange, isn't it? Try, you know, put that out of your mind as much as you can. Obviously, you need to keep yourself safe because, you know, but just like any teacher has to. But I think, you know, it's an honour. I feel really privileged, actually, to teach children, as sort of kind of cliches perhaps it might sound. I feel really proud that I get to do this day in, day out. You know, it's not easy. There'll be some really difficult days, and there'll be days where you think, oh my goodness, I'm glad that's over. But, you know, if it's something you want to do, you'll be like me, where every day you will love and you won't regret, you know, ever making the decision to stick at it and stick into teaching. It's just, you know, stick with your gut, stick with your heart, really.
Oh, that's lovely. No, that's very, very good advice. Wouldn't argue with that at all. So, how can people find out more about Cedar Road Primary School and where you are and all that sort of thing?
Well, we've got our school website, which I believe you're putting onto your website.
That'll be on the website, yes. You can click through on that.
We've also got a Twitter account that we try and keep sort of tweeting everything that we're doing throughout the day. But, you know, our school, we're very happy to have people come in, have a wander around, have a chat with us. So if they rang the school office, you know, we can get email addresses, we can have conversations that way. So, you know, we're very good. We're a very open school, I have to say. We love the community, and we feel that the community needs to be really involved. But we also like supporting other teachers, no matter where they come from.
That's lovely. Oh, that's really good to hear. Thank you very much indeed for that, because there might well be male teachers out there that might be having a bit of a rough time. They just need to come to somewhere where they'll get that sort of that positive support. Oh, that's super. Thank you very much indeed, Rhys, and thank you very much indeed for joining me on the podcast today. That's been fascinating, and to meet a teacher that wanted to be a teacher from the age of five is a true privilege, so thank you very much indeed for that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And very best of luck for the future. I shall check the website every so often to see what new thing you're putting out there, what new technology project you have got going on. Very best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much.
And do join me again for the next podcast about men in early years childcare.